Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here today, and it's good to have some special guests here. That's really good. Please turn with me in the red hymnal to number 549, and we'll sing the doxology. It's in the red hymnal, number 549, the doxology. Praise God. Worship is hymn number 648. Happy is he whose guilt is removed, whose sin is forgiven. Happy the man whom the Lord reckons no evil, whose spirit is free from guile. Then I told you my sin, I hid not my guilt. I said, I confess, O Most High, my transgressions, O Lord. As for you, you removed the guilt of my sin. Therefore every saint prays unto you, when an army approaches or flood waters rise, he is not overtaken. You are my refuge. You protect me from danger. You surround me with shouts of triumph. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 452, Living for Jesus, a Life That Is True. Hymn number 452.
Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, I would like to read with you the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, and there is nothing that I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when he died on the cross. I believe that he did all that will ever be necessary for me to stand in your holy presence. I thank you that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection. As best as I can, I now transfer my trust to him. I am grateful that he has promised to receive me despite my many sins and failures. Father, I take you at my word. I thank you that I can face death now that you are my Savior. Thank you for the assurance that you will walk with me through the deep valley. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you give us this wonderful opportunity to come and worship you. And Lord, it is in the quietness of our hearts and minds that we come to you with the many needs and requests that we have, the challenges that we are facing, the things that we are trying to overcome individually in our lives. Lord, we lay all those things before you. God, I would ask that you would give each and every one of us the strength and the courage, the wisdom and the discernment to deal with those things that we are facing, and that you will help us through your strength and power, through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, to overcome those challenges, because you have never left us and you have never forsaken us, regardless of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Help us to remember that. And God, we think of family members and friends. We think of patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you in prayer as well. And God, we ask for the same thing, that you would remind them always of your presence in their lives, and that you would give them the courage and the strength that they need to have to face those challenges that they have as well. And God, we just want to say thank you, and we praise you for this time of worship that we can come together as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 386. I am weak, but thou art strong. Hymn number 386. I am weak, but thou art strong. Through this world of toil and care, Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, just want to thank you for this wonderful time that we've had, the closeness that we feel in the presence of your Spirit in our lives. God, I would ask that you would help me say those things to continue that closeness with each other and the closeness, God, that we want to have with you all the time. Help me now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope you've had a good week. I've had a pretty interesting week here. A lot of different things going on. Things that I could not control. Things I did not find out about until after they occurred, and I end up doing damage control. Some of you are familiar with that, trying to fix things that people have done incorrectly or that have done wrong. And there's a frustration in that because obviously if we had an understanding of what was going to happen beforehand, we would set forth to make the corrections that we need so we don't have to deal with the after-fact effects of some of the decisions that we make or the decisions of others as well. But this morning I want to share with you as we prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. In that prayer, it gives us the perspective that God wants to have about our lives. The scriptures that we've just read this morning gives us the perspective that God wants us to have. First of all, as we read the call to worship, the fact that you and I, we've all done things that are wrong, that we are ashamed of, that we feel guilty about. And the psalmist tells us that those things have been forgiven by God. And therefore, God is always with us. His forgiveness is always there. And because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we are no longer accountable for those things because of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. That gives us the eternal life and God's grace that gives us the forgiveness of the wrongs that we have done. Our sin. And so consequently, within our own lives, our perspective needs to be that of heaven. And over the last couple of years, there's the whole idea of what your worldview is and what your worldview is supposed to be. In fact, I was watching a television show just yesterday, and they were specifically talking about your worldview and what it represents and what you are supposed to say is your worldview as a follower of Jesus Christ. The scriptures gives us a heavenly view of what our life should be, not just a worldview. Something far more important, understanding what our life is and then what it's going to be. And I think if we understand what our life is going to be, then it should give us the correct perspective of what our life should be now. The way that we look at life should not be a worldview. The way we look at life should be a heavenly view. And that's very difficult for us to do, to have that perspective. But yet the scriptures tell us that that's what we are to be thinking about. That we are not to have a worldview, but we are to have a heavenly view about things. And if we think about that just for a few moments, it gives us a total different perspective in how we look at our lives, does it not? It should. And when we look at the heavenly view that God wants us to have, then we can see truth for what it truly is, what it truly represents, what it is supposed to be. the truth that God wants us to have in Christ. The truth that God wants us to understand of Christ's authority and where it resides right now for you and me. Earlier this week, one of our chaplains here had to do a memorial service for a member of our nursing staff that had died suddenly. She was only 40 years old. She left two twin daughters, 5 years old. The death was sudden. There was no preparation for it. There was no illness that was detected beforehand. And as the chaplain was sharing here in this chapel the memorial service for that nurse, he was very clear to make it understood that she was now with Christ. And there's reassurance in that when those types of tragedies seem to happen in our lives, to friends, family members, maybe people we only knew briefly, or that we are aware of who they are, and we see those things happening. But then every once in a while, we are reminded of the perspective that God wants us to have, which is that heavenly perspective. That doesn't take away the grief, or the pain, or the sadness, or the tears. But it does represent the truth that you and I are supposed to have in our daily lives. It is to give us that perspective that as we see things in our lives, as we see the little things that happen that become so frustrating, when we have the right perspective, we truly see how meaningless they are. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to take care of my responsibilities or the duties that I have within the various positions that I am a part of or that I am in. But it gives me a perspective in terms of how I should handle those things. The truth about who I am. And yes, I get irritated. Yes, I get frustrated. Yes, I get impatient. But the Holy Spirit is always reminding me to be who I'm supposed to be and not who I am. And that gives us the truth that we're supposed to have, that heavenly view that God wants us to represent. And I would encourage you to set your minds on things that are above, because that is where the truth is that represents you and I. It doesn't absolve us of our responsibilities or our duties, but it gives us that understanding that God wants us to have. We see the truth that we are supposed to represent, and yet we know that it is imperfect. Just this week, I had a birthday, and it turned out to be the big 6-0. And today, our family is getting together to celebrate the big 6-0 for me. And I was actually thinking yesterday, what would I say, or at least what my thoughts were about today? And my thoughts come to this. I have not been a perfect Christian. I have not been a perfect husband. I have not been a perfect father. I have not been a perfect grandfather. I have not been a perfect chaplain. But yet, I have never stopped loving my God. I have never stopped loving my wife. I have never stopped loving my children. I have never stopped loving my grandchildren. I have never stopped loving my country. And those were my thoughts. Setting my mind on things that are above gives me that perspective that within my own imperfection, I see the truth that God wants me to represent, and that is the love that He wants us to have. But yet sometimes my own imperfection, and I would make the argument that probably your imperfections get in the same way of clouding the truth, of clouding our own judgments. But yet God says, There is no longer any judgment for you. There is no longer any judgment for me. And the truth is stated for us that we are dead in Christ and that our life is hidden in Christ and that it is a new life that you and I are supposed to live. And even within all of our imperfection, God wants us to continue to live that life as best as we possibly can. To live a life that is centered on Christ. To live a life that is with Christ in all things. And even with all of the imperfections that we have, our desire is to continue to try to obey the truth. The truth of what God's grace is for you and for me. And many times our attention gets diverted by the things of our own everyday lives. But there should be something that we do every day to try to return us back to the right perspective that God wants us to have. Perhaps it is a time of prayer. Perhaps it is certain music that you might listen to. Perhaps it is reading the scriptures. Perhaps it is just quietly thinking about God. But God wants us every day to have that heavenly view as we walk each day for God. And even though at times we might be overwhelmed by events, and we might be overwhelmed by tragedy, we might be overwhelmed by grief, God wants us to return to that heavenly view and perspective about all things, because it provides for us the hope that God wants us to have. A couple of Sundays ago, I told you that I work for a senior officer, and he tells me that hope is not a plan. He's not saying not to have hope, but the hope that you have has to have something that goes along with it. And for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in Christ goes along with the plan that God has for you and me every day to live for Him. So that truth about our relationship with Christ can be revealed. To share Christ with others when those opportunities come our way. Because then when we do that, we are truly saying to God, God, I have put away my earthly things. I put away the person that I used to be. I was reading something the other day, and many times as this author was restating this statement again and again, I thought about my own specific life as it had applied to me. And the author kept on making the statement that sometimes we need to put to death what we think spirituality in God is and seek the other way, the correct way of spirituality and what God is. Putting together and putting to death what we think God is versus what God truly is in Christ. Truly represents who we are. And so the scriptures remind us again about that truth and how we are to apply it. The truth about our lives. To get rid of those things that create a false truth for us, that creates a false plan for us, that creates a false hope for us. The things that we try to do on our own. And then the truth that God wants us to have, because we have to replace it with something. You and I, we do not like to have voids in our lives. When something is gone, we replace it with something else. That's just our psychological makeup. We do not like to have emptiness. We do not like to have voids. So when you go on the journey with God and you see a different view that God wants you to have, the heavenly view, you need to be ready to replace it with the view that you are giving up, your worldview, your personal view. Because when we replace it with God's heavenly view, we need to understand what it is. What is that plan? What is that truth? What is that hope that God wants us to have? And then we begin to apply it, and we see that new plan, that new spiritual life that we thought could never be possible for us, the peace that we have, understanding of the forgiveness of the wrongs and the sins that we have done, and applying it. And once again, it is not perfection. But yet we can honestly say that we have never stopped loving our God. We have never stopped loving what Christ has done for us on the cross. And we start with that hope and with that plan. And then we see the other things, the other relationships that God wants us to love, that God wants us to care for. And then we see within our own personal lives how things begin to change, all for the good. We see how things are renewed in our lives because we begin a life that is living the way that God wants us to be, following Jesus Christ. And very slowly, God works on us, the things that He wants us to change to make us better. And then all of a sudden, we can sense that peace, even when there's times that we are frustrated and impatient. We can sense that peace when we are alone. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a seminar, and they were talking about the fact that solitude does not mean isolation. And I am a person that needs to have solitude. But it does not mean that I want to be isolated from my family, or isolated from my friends, or isolated from my God. On the contrary, I just need to have that time of solitude to put my life in the proper perspective, so I can love the way that I should love, that I can care the way that I should care, that I can help others the way that I should be helping them. And that is the truth of myself. And perhaps your truth is very similar. Perhaps you've been trying to figure out, what should I do here? What should be my plan? What should be my hope? What is the truth that I'm supposed to represent about my life? And God tells us very clearly this morning that our perspective that we need to have, the truth that we need to represent, comes from our relationship with Christ as He sits on the right hand of God in heaven for you and I. So you and I can have that perspective to live the best life that we could possibly live. So it is my hope and prayer that as we begin this day and this week, that we'll see the heavenly view that God wants us to have, the truth that God wants us to instill in our lives, and the truth that He wants to share with others. Amen. Let's just take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it is a public opportunity for us to identify with the heavenly perspective that God wants us to have. Let us pray. God, I am so thankful that You've brought us all here this morning to worship You. And Lord, I do not take for granted the relationships that I have. And Lord, I do not take for granted the truth that You want me to represent. Lord, I would ask that You would forgive me and all of us here of the imperfections that we have, but also the realization of the presence of Your Holy Spirit in our lives, that we have never stopped loving and we have never stopped caring for those things that You have put in our lives. God, I would ask that You would forgive us, as the psalmist has written for us, our sin, our guilt, and all of that has been forgiven because of the grace and because of the cross. And Lord, I just thank You that we can publicly do this together in remembrance. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 457. My hope is built on nothing less. Number 457. Gracious God, help us to have that heavenly view that you want us to have in all the little things that we do and all the big things that we do. Help us, God, to have that view that reveals the truth of your love for us and for each other. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.